Welcome to another episode of Kevo and Heidi's Disney Over Coffee.
I'm Kevo.
And I'm Heidi.
And let's talk about Disney.
Let's do it. And we're back.
We're back again. It's been a while.
It's been a long while. Just life. Mm-hmm. Things going on. What are we doing today?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana Jones.
Indy, as some people call him. So, before we get to that, though, let's do our... Which movie is it? You don't have any quotes today.
I don't have nothing today.
But that's okay. I got something. Let's see if you can get it.
Well, I'm going to get it.
You probably will.
I'm going to get it.
All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I despise that chicken.
That movie with the claymation. Chicken Run.
That's DreamWorks, but...
Chicken... Walk.
Instead of Chicken Run, Chicken Walk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about this one? Even though you're not moving, you feel like you're alive. Because that's how he sees you.
That sounded very deep.
It was a very deep scene. It was very sad.
Chicken rooster.
Wait.
Chicken coop.
No. Wait, it's not suicide. It's a rescue.
Chicken something.
Oh my gosh, you really don't get it. Okay, how about this last one? If you don't get it with this last one, I'm going to be disappointed. Let me guess. Andy's a real special kid.
Oh. Yeah, he is. Toy Story. Four.
Which one?
Four.
It was not four. Two. But you were close.
Three.
It was Toy Story 2.
Toy Story 2.
When the, remember the thief was the guy in the chicken suit?
Oh.
Yeah, the thief. It's like, I despise that chicken. Because they kept seeing the commercial for his, like, toy store. Well, poop. That's okay. We'll scratch that off the books. All right. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, 1981.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by whom?
Stevie Spielberg.
I don't know if he prefers to be called Stevie. Steven. Written by Lawrence Kasdan. Starring Harrison Ford, Karen Allen, Paul Freeman, Ronald Lacey, and John Rhys-Davies. Say his name, right?
Sure.
You know, I don't know his names. I got some trivia. Would you like to hear it?
Let me hear the trivia.
Okay. So, Indy's line to Marion when they are on the ship, "It's not the years, honey, it's the mileage," was ad-libbed. It's a pretty good line.
Pretty good line.
Mm-hmm. Harrison Ford actually outran the boulder in the opening sequence because the scene was shot twice from five different angles. He had to outrun it 10 times. The Well of Souls scene required 7,000 snakes. Just the thought of it. The only venomous snake was the cobra. But one crew member was bitten on set by a python.
Oof.
Workman's comp right there. Because, whoop, you wouldn't get me on a set with snakes. Ugh. This is the only Indiana Jones film to be nominated for Best Picture.
Really?
Kind of a bummer when you think about it. It's like, wow, the only one. But then again, I mean, we'll get into it, but I don't think that the Indiana Jones films are as rewatchable as people think. But we'll get into it. All right, so where do we start?
From the beginning.
Good point. In the spring of 1936, we see a thick jungle in a South American continent. They don't really give us which one exactly, I don't think, in the beginning. They just were in a jungle. There is a group there examining a map. The group pulls guns. The leader hears clicking sounds. And then we see a bullwhip and a man who is Dr. Henry Indiana Jones.
Henry? Who is this Henry?
Junior. Because he's a junior. An archaeologist with a reputation for heavy-handed field work that takes him all across the globe. And he's looking for an artifact of sorts. And he's got his companion, Sapito, which is a great name. Alfred Molina's first movie. but he's not quite good. Or so we think. You know, that we think at first that he's just a regular, schmegular guy.
Yeah, they go into the temple, and the temple has booby traps. And they help each other.
It's a valuable statue, it says. Yeah. Doesn't necessarily, it's a small valuable statue. And you mentioned...
I know. It's gold.
Well, yeah. But you also mentioned that it would be heavy.
It would be super heavy.
So the fact that he just goes and puts a little bit of, like, a little mini sack of pebbles.
No, not even pebbles. It's like, it's more of the dirt. And I'm like, you're going to need a bigger bag of dirt. That thing's heavy.
So... he's able to get past the booby traps, but yeah, nope, it says bag of sand, yep, to try to get the weight right, but the pedestal sinks, and the chamber begins to collapse. As they're running, they avoid darts, but then when he arrives at the bottomless pit, Sapito ends up crossing safely to the other side.
Uh-huh. But Indy doesn't.
But he refuses to help Indiana Jones.
Well, no. So it's not that he refuses. It's more like, you know, like, hey,
give me the idol or whatever he says.
Give me the treasure, and then I'll throw you the rope. And they kind of go back and forth for a second, and then he does it, and then Molina's like, ha 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 ha. But he makes it. He jumps. But he doesn't make it, and he's scrambling, and then he grabs, like, a root, and then he climbs out.
I would like to also add that I did not know that that was his dead body, because it looked completely different.
Yeah, it was 1981.
I remember the scene where this body pops out, and he's like, ah. But I'm looking at it, I was like, who's that supposed to be? I was like, oh, it's supposed to be Sapito. Because I did not get that. I was like, whoops.
Yeah, they didn't have the people from, like, Total Recall.
Right, exactly. Because those effects were definitely better. That's okay. But, yeah, so Sapito's dead. He is able to get past it, gets the idol. And seemingly safe, he is cornered by Jovitos, the local tribe, who are led by Dr. René Belloc, an arrogant French archaeologist who is a longtime rival. So they know each other.
But, like, so, like, Indiana Jones, he does this stuff, you know, for research and well,
Dr. René. Like
where, like, he does it just for money.
Mm-hmm. Which makes, you know, I guess, sense in the aspect of, like, he looks dressed to the nines, even in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison to Indiana Jones. Yep, so Belloc is able to get the idol. And Indiana Jones gets to be rescued by Jacques, the pilot of the seaplane, and he's able to fly away. Although he does find a pet snake in the cockpit, and what's his bucket? Jacques is like, oh, that's my pet snake.
Mm-hmm. Now, was that actually the plan? Because, I mean, because if you think about it, right, so he was over there with Molina, and, you know, it wasn't a three-seater plane, so was that, like, a backup plan? Did he know he had to ditch the dude?
Well, I was under the impression that if he hadn't betrayed him, right, that he would have found a way to keep some cash and just stay, because it seemed that that was his country.
Well... but, like, you're just going to be like, I'll see you later, man. I'm gonna fly away on this plane. You're going to have to walk home.
Right. That's a good point there. Unless they would have had him stay at the bottom, close to the the landing gear parts, I guess.
Well, that sounds terrible.
It's like, I'll just be back here, guys. But yeah, that's a good point. I don't think they would have put that into consideration. But anyway, back in the States, Indiana is teaching his archaeology class. Still very upset about the situation. I would also like to point out that all of the chicas in the class are eyeing him like some sort of steak with their mouths open and saliva coming out.
But it's Indiana Jones.
Very handsome man, yes.
Indiana Jones.
And I prefer that he had worn the glasses more often because I liked them. I liked him with the glasses on. But yes, so... But, yep, so the class ends, and he gets a visit by Marcus Brody, who talks to him about, you know, the whole situation and how maybe he could go to Marrakesh, I believe, right?
Yeah.
To find Belloc, to be able to, I guess, what?
No. So he talks with the... with the American agents, remember?
Right.
He talks with the American agents, talking about how Hitler, because at this point, you know, we're like, oh, Hitler's not, like, he's not, like, some evil dude. We don't know that yet, right? Because it's 1936. Mm-hmm. And so, but the Third Reich is growing stronger and everything like that, mm-hmm. and, you know, the American agents put out that, hey, this guy is going out trying to find... all of the secrets of the world and all the magic that could mm-hmm. potentially happen and stuff like that. And so he knows somebody who has an emblem. Not only does she have an emblem, but, you know, because of her knowledge and everything like that, he knows he needs her to help him figure things out. So that's why he goes there, because that's where what's her name?
Marion.
Yeah, Marion is.
But there's also a little stress there because they used to date and now they don't.
Is it love?
I mean, it would be awkward a little bit, I'm sure. Be like, oh, I never thought I'd see you again. But yes, yeah, so Indiana flies to Nepal, but he is followed by Nazi agent Tut.
Yeah, that creepy looking dude.
So creepy.
That dude looks like the scientist guy from The Nightmare Before Christmas, but if he had a hat.
Yeah. Yes, so Tut follows, and they are in a restaurant/bar, which is owned by Marion, right? Like, that's her place, right?
I think it is. I think at some point during her adventure, she ends up owning this bar in the middle of Nepal, the mountains range and stuff like that. And so,
yeah, maybe she learned Nepalese.
Yeah. So, but him and her, they're talking. He needs her help. At first she's like, no, I don't want to help.
No.
But then, you know, like Indy leaves for a bit, and that's when, you know, creepy scientist Dr. Dude walks in with his soldiers and pretty much threatens to kill her, mm-hmm. And take her emblem.
Yeah.
Because I think...
Well, Indiana Jones does offer money. Like, he offers her $3,000 mm-hmm. to go on this trip.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. But she was pretty much like, I don't think it's worth the trouble kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm just going to stay here and live my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy where I'm at.
But then, yes, Tut brings, like, a whole bunch of big burly dudes to, like, come in. And they look like they're gonna really hurt her until Indiana Jones shows up.
Yeah, he shows up, and then fight ensues. You know, Indiana Jones punching Nazis.
Wait, I'll tell you everything.
Yes, I know you will.
Let her go.
I forget her name. What's her name?
Marion. Yeah, Marion.
Marion.
Marion, like Robin Hood.
Marion.
Marianne.
You know, she starts punching Nazis, and then but they're able to escape with the emblem, but not before like she drops the emblem. Uh-huh. And it's in like fire. And the creepy scientist Dr. Tote. Dude, you know, he goes, he grabs it,
but he starts to burn.
Yeah, and it burns. And he's like, ah! And he runs outside, but they're able to escape.
Because there's snow outside.
Yeah, because there's snow outside. Because they're like in the mountains, and they're able to escape. But she, you know, she loses her bar, and they end up in Jerusalem.
It says Egypt here, but...
Oh, is it Egypt?
Yeah, it says the two fly to Egypt to see Salah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, it's in Egypt. That's where they're going to use the emblem to...
Can I just say, for a second here, yes, I do think that Marion is very much still in love with Indiana. Mm-hmm. And even if her tavern hadn't burned down, she probably would have helped him. But now it's even more so that, yeah, I will help you, but you will repay me so that I can open another bar, because what the hell?
I mean, I bet you if he didn't go to her, Germans would have still went and still got her.
Probably. But that's what I'm saying. I think it worked out in the end, but still, you will repay me.
Mm-hmm. Will repay me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the two find Salah and... one of the, well, I guess, like, they talk to him specifically about what they've been looking for, and specifically what the Nazis are looking for. Mm-hmm. Talking about the Lost Ark, where what Moses had initially inscripted the Ten Commandments on, something like that.
They're talking about that's where the...
It says the ark was built by ancient Hebrews to hold the stone tablets on which Moses inscribed the Ten Commandments.
But the ark was before that too, because that's what what's his name used to essentially destroy whole armies and stuff like that.
Remember? It doesn't talk about that in here, but that's okay.
Yeah. Or was it Moses first and then whoever?
I don't know.
Because it's the Ark of the Covenant. And God's followers, whatever they are, whoever it was, used it.
But anyway. So they talk about the Ark's location without the headpiece. And essentially they're not in the same location is what I'm getting. Like there's a location for the headpiece, a location for the Ark. And Salah says he knows a man who can read the ancient inscriptions that give the precise measurements of the staff. Because you need the staff and the headpiece to make it work.
Mm-hmm. But there's two sides to it. Because it's revealed that his source is the crazy scientist dude that burned his hand on the medallion. And it pretty much, you know... scarred that side, because there's two sides. Mm-hmm. That side of the whatchamacallit. So they were digging in the wrong spot.
Oh. So they end up in the shopping center area of Cairo. Indy and Marion are then attacked by Arabs in the area working for Nazis. And Indy fights them off, but in the confusion, Marion is... well, she hides in, like, this, like, type of, like, basket, I guess you could say. Almost like a snake basket or a basket for food. She hides in there.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. She's kind of, like, carried over, you know, around town.
Yeah, it was a fun little chase.
Mm-hmm. But, yep, so they end up taking her away. But I would like to say that I think it is so adorable that at first Indiana thinks that she has died in a fire.
Yeah, he thinks she ended up on the back of a truck and the truck like exploded during the chase.
And he was just so, he took a minute. He really did. He was like taken aback by this. It's so cute. So Salah takes Indiana to see the shaman who is reading the headpiece. after both men have learned that it was Belloc and his Wehrmacht, Colonel Dietrich, who had obtained a copy of the headpiece.
Yeah, yeah, like Colonel Dietrich, that he's like the head of the Nazi team, the team, you know, doing all this search for all of these relics.
Yeah. And so the shaman does reveal that first, the headpiece gives the precise height of the staff, and second, that the staff the Nazis used was too long because the other side of the headpiece instructs to subtract from the height, which was on the other side of the medallion. So, so their excavation is over a mile away from the Ark's actual burial site, which is now at the well, like known as the Well of Souls.
The Well of Souls.
Very sad.
Well of snakes.
Ugh. But infiltrating the mammoth site, Indiana is lowered into an underground map room containing a precisely detailed miniature of the city. It looks all cool and crafty. Mm-hmm. Using the raw headpiece, he identifies the precise location of the Well of Souls. Indiana is shocked to find Marion alive.
Mm-hmm. It was a big old smoochy smooch.
Mm-hmm. It was great, though, because he was so sad. He was so sad when he thought that she was gone. But so Indiana starts to free her, but when she reveals that the Nazis keep asking about him, and what he knows, he realizes that he can't cut her loose without revealing his presence to the Nazis. So later that afternoon, Indiana and Salah sneak a digging party of their own to actually start, you know, finding the Well of Souls. Mm-hmm. Late into the night, they finally reveal the roof of the chamber, but to Indiana's horror, it is filled with snakes.
And I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously it's a movie, but in all actuality, I would have waited. As soon as we opened it up, you know, it's almost dawn. So maybe wait until the next night. Because what's his name? The dude. The archaeologist. Belloc. Balaclava. He's all talking with that colonel dude, and then they happen to look up and, oh hey, look, a bunch of our guys are digging over there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so they end up even though Indiana and his team find the Ark of the Covenant in the Well of Souls,
mm-hmm.
It ends up being that the Nazis take over.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Nazis take it over, and then they throw Marianne. They throw her down the pit.
Oh my gosh, so scary.
And they close it up.
Yeah, so scary. But yeah, so Marion and Indy are fighting off the snakes. There's a wall with holes that snakes are crawling through, so that's when he's like, maybe there's another side to this. So he climbs a mammoth statue, and with all of his might, breaks it from its foundation and crashes through the wall. The two find an opening to the surface and discover the airfield at the excavation camp,
mm-hmm.
where Nazi flying wings are, you know, everywhere.
Yeah, they have a plane that's gonna take the Covenant to somewhere.
Yep, so the two sneak onto the plane, but Indiana is attacked by a mechanic, and a prolonged fight ensues, and a big burly German soldier pummels Indiana.
Yeah, it starts kicking his butt.
He's like huge. Yep, so he ends up not doing so good, but Marion seizes one of the plane's machine guns and opens fire.
Yeah, it just like takes out everything.
Like, wah!
Yeah, she pretty much takes out everything, and then
it ends up being like a big old mess.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but they make it work.
Mm-hmm. And the plane explodes, so they can't go anywhere. But, so Dietrich orders his men to transport the Ark by truck to Cairo. When Salah finds Indiana and Marion, he's overjoyed that they're okay. Indiana takes a horse and pursues the convoy, seizing the truck. So there's a brutal chase on this truck. But they still end up having the Ark.
Yeah, they end up having the Ark.
So, Indiana forces Dietrich and Belloc's car off the road, delaying their pursuit. So then he and Marion are aboard a steamer boat.
Where'd you get that?
From him.
Who, him?
Katanga. I've got a feeling I'm not the first woman to travel with these pirates.
It's lovely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you say?
Wait, I don't need any help.
You do. Not the man I knew 10 years ago.
It's not the years, it's the mileage. Please, I don't need a nurse. I just want to sleep.
He's such a baby.
Marion,
who's this here?
Go, Ray. Yes. It hurts. Ow.
Well, goddamn it, anywhere doesn't it hurt?
Here. Here.
But it ends up getting boarded
by the Nazis, by
a Nazi submarine mm-hmm. team, where they Indiana Jones he's able to hide, but they're able to get Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
But he's able to sneak onto the submarine, which again, I mean, in it's a movie,
mm-hmm.
but that no.
Yeah, that wouldn't actually quite work, but that's okay. You know, it's fiction. Yep, so the sub crosses the Mediterranean Sea and arrives at a small island. Marion is escorted off of the sub, and Belloc, Dietrich, Tot, and Marion are all there. When they enter a canyon, Indiana holds them all at bay with a German rocket launcher.
Yeah, but what's his name? Balaclava.
Balaclava.
He ends up, you know, he challenges Indiana Jones. He's like,
I dare you.
He's like, I dare you to do it, pretty much. But obviously, Indiana Jones doesn't like the dude, doesn't like the Nazis. But you know, it's the Ark of the Covenant, so he's like, kind of want to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're on this like. Deserted island because mm-hmm. they want to showcase its power, make sure that it works, and without killing anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're on that island.
Yep. So, at an elaborate ceremony atop the mountain, Indiana and Marion are tied to a pole, so they can watch as the ark is opened. But it contains nothing but sand. Practice on it.
Oh yeah. So
they're tied to a pole.
Yep. Yeah, they're tied to a pole. And then you have, the Nazi soldiers. They're standing around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Belloc. He's like in ceremonial garb, and you got the scientist dude and the colonel next to him, and mm-hmm. he's speaking the words, and then they open it. And they just look inside, and there's just sand in mm-hmm. there, right? They're like, "What?" I think the scientist dude like starts laughing. You know, they're in disbelief,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden,
some
things start happening.
Some spirits start coming out.
Yeah.
They look all scary.
Well, no, they're not scary at first.
They're scaring me.
But... They're going around. They're kind of just being playful with everybody. And then all of a sudden, there's like a close-up shot, and it turns into a specter of death.
Mm-hmm.
Ah!
And they just like disintegrate almost.
Yeah. They just start. Everyone just starts dying.
Mm-hmm. And Indiana tells Marion, "Close your eyes."
Yeah, the most powerful relic in the world, You just gotta close your eyes. That's all you gotta do.
Mm-hmm. So the two are there, unfortunately, witnessing this horror. And Tot and Dietrich's faces melt as they scream. Belloc is actually, he explodes. Belloc explodes. Being so high in the night sky, carries every corpse towards the heavens.
Yep, and then sucks them.
Before sucks then, them in there. Yeah, sucks them right back. And the Ark seals itself.
Yep.
Back up. So, Indiana and Marion are okay. They're, of course, like, just, whew, like, that was a lot. Mm-hmm. That was a lot, but we're okay. So, weeks later, Indiana and Marcus feud with the army forces or whatever over the whereabouts of the Ark, you know. Because they end up, I guess, fighting over where it's meant to be.
Could be.
Because I think, like, Indiana wants it to go back where it came.
Yeah. Well, so, to me, Indiana Jones' whole thing is that, you know, these relics and everything like that, they need to go to museums more to be protected, right? So that way dudes like this guy
can't
use it for, you know, to obtain wealth and in this case
power
and stuff like that, you know. Mm-hmm. like that, and that's one reason why I like him. You know, he's this dude.
He has a moral code.
He's got a moral code. He's willing to die for that moral code. And you know what I'm saying, and he wants to protect you, right? He's not like the British Museum. He just wants to steal shit.
Right. But well, because at first, like, I was thinking, like, do they know what's in it? Like, do they have any clue of what's in it? And Indiana's starting to think, like, well, maybe they do. That's why they don't want to put it in a museum. Well.
No, I think the U.S. guys, they don't believe it. They're just like, hey, the Nazis wanted it, so we just want to take it from them.
And
that's why they ended up boxing it up and just putting it in a warehouse in Area 51.
Right. For, like, special government artifacts or whatever. Yeah. Special entities solely for the government to use or potentially use. Because, yeah, the warehouse was huge. And then it had, like, a serial number on it. It said, like, property of U.S. government or something like that. And then we see how large this place is with similar-looking, like, crates and boxes and stuff. So we're like, wondering what other things, you know, the government is hiding from us. I don't put it past anybody.
Crystal skulls.
Yeah, probably. Because that's where it was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that's it.
That's it.
That's the movie. How are we scoring this?
I give it 4 out of 5 whips.
Whips. I give it 3.5 whips. And I tell you, I just think, as far as movies that have stood the test of time, I don't know how well the Indiana Jones movies do. I'm gonna be honest with you. And I guess I say that because you don't rewatch them very much.
Yeah, it's one of those that just, I'll be like, man, I'll put it on. Put it on and watch them.
Yeah, but how often do you rewatch them?
Once every few years, 3-4 years maybe.
Yeah, see, and I feel like at this rate, you've rewatched Blade Runner maybe about 10,000 times.
Ooh! Oh, man, I could watch that every day.
Yeah, so I just...
Is that a Disney movie?
I don't think it is. No. But, yeah, I guess it's just... I don't know how long it actually stands the test of time. The Indiana Jones franchise. I don't know that it's as timeless as I wish it was.
Timeless.
But it's a good movie, though. It's definitely one that, like, if people put it on, I'll watch it. It's good, though. Who was the best and who was the worst?
Who was the worst? That Belloc dude. He's just a terrible person. He just wanted power.
Is he the French guy?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I definitely don't like him. Not to mention, we kind of didn't cover the fact that he like tries to get Marion drunk so that he can sleep with her.
You're a terrible person.
I feel like that's what he was trying to. Do we want to, like, do we think that Marion potentially might have a drinking problem?
Maybe.
Though, I mean, I guess we never actually saw her drunk. She was only faking. Because she can drink everybody under the table.
maybe she does. She does. She has a problem.
She kind of is like Archer in that way.
I don't think she did. I mean, she went out there and kicked ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess she didn't allow it to disrupt her life. She was a functioning, well-adjusted person. But yeah, no, Belloc is gross. Because he even, like, gets her a nice pretty dress and, like, watches her undress. And it's like, ugh.
Like, what are you doing?
It was gross. Who was the best?
Indiana Jones.
I'm going to say Marion.
She was pretty cool.
I liked her. Very fun. Smart. I mean, I guess, was Marion also an archaeologist? Did we get that part of her background?
I'm pretty sure she was.
Wasn't she also a professor?
I don't think she was a professor, but I'm pretty sure she was an archaeologist.
Okay.
Hold on.
See, this is how little I have looked into the Indiana Jones franchise. It's just not some, it's not a fandom that I'm a part of, I guess.
She's a journalist.
Ah.
And her father was, like, the...
The Ravenwood guy?
Yeah.
Dr. Ravenwood. Her
father was the archaeologist, and that's Woo-hoo. How she knew. She was a journalist.
Well, way to go, Marion. You get them stories. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Hopefully it's not too long before we give you another episode, but you know, life. Mm-hmm. What are we doing next?
I don't know. I picked the last one.
You'll have to wait and see then, listeners. Mm-hmm. All right, bye.
Bye-bye.